El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Mr. Quinn heard Coach McDowell say to these men,
this woman,
quote,
never claimed she was homeless, never told us she was homeless.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
First of all, it's one of the best schools. We slept here outside in the rain.
I hate Jews.
That's the latest from Donald Trump, you know. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go anywhere, all the way through the looking glass and beyond. And we take you places other talk shows cannot take you. 877-876-PHIL. I mean, I am telling you the truth. When I tell you that we take you places other talk shows cannot take you, that's exactly what we do in this show. We work harder than any other talk show in America. We bust our ass more than any other talk host in America. We bring more original material to the show than any other talk show host in America. We do a more creative radio show than any other radio show in America. The radio industry, well, that's something else. I mean, it's being run right now by third graders. However, if you'd like really great radio, you've found the right spot on the dial. At least this show on this spot on the dial. I don't know if I can't vouch for anything else. 877-876-PHIL. And this hour, we are going to be talking about, speaking of third grade, we're going to be talking about kindergarten. And we're going to be talking about a brand new kindergarten that has opened up at Western Estates. It's a public school, very desirable, in a very desirable area of the city. And obviously hiring staff, teachers, administrators, and the facilities themselves are top-notch. And there has been a run by parents on that school to get their kids enrolled, and we're going to be talking to Bobby Dooley, who's the Western Estates Homeowners Association president, about that experience. She was out there, I believe, today or yesterday, right, Bud? You were on the phone with her.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
In any event, she had an interesting experience that we want to talk with her about parents lining up around the block to get their kids into a kindergarten. And then, of course, we will deal with the birther or non-birther birth certificate controversy, non-controversy. Dean Wheeler and Larry Grover square off in a debate in our second hour. Dean Wheeler, who is with the Northern California Holistic Center and an avowed progressive Democrat, and Larry Grover, chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, a conservative Republican. You won't want to miss that next hour. So that's the news. And as we mentioned, President Obama released that birth certificate this morning. It was very dramatic when I woke up this morning to see that news. Also, the Media Research Center still hates the show Glee. We'll tell you why. It has to do with homosexuality, either intended or otherwise. Not the homosexuality of the members of the Media Research Center, but no.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
No. They would probably like us to believe they're straight, and I'm sure that they are. No, this is what they perceive to be the homosexuality of the cast and the staff and the network and the writers and the producers and the actors and the directors and the guys that deliver lunch of the staff of Glee. All of them gay.
All of those people?
Well, that's probably what they think. All right. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on WKRS 1220 AM in the great city of Chicago. How many times do people say when they're about to say Chicago, they start out with a prefix it with a great city? Well, I think that is an appropriate prefix. The great city of Chicago and the great city of Reno, Nevada, KBZZ 1270 AM, two great stations, two great cities on the Phil Hendry Show affiliate list. Our website is philhendryshow.com, and we are right now uncensored on Phil TV in HD. So if you have a backstage pass, you can watch us during our breaks, before the show, and a little bit after the show. And a lot of times we have scheduled other programming, other appearances by yours truly on Phil TV in HD. It's all uncensored, and we get into some pretty nasty things. And I don't necessarily mean sexually. I'm not talking about that. But we get into some freewheeling discussion and editorializing and commenting on the world around us. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. Now, also, go to our shop because we got the brand new Phil Hendry Show T-shirts, the Phil Hendry Show colors. We have, of course, our coffee mugs, our shot glasses, and our best of CDs. These are the archive CDs, 97 through 2005. But man, those T-shirts, bud.
Yeah, and I saw the baseball caps is the same color, too.
Right. Well, you're going to get the fitted caps, but right now we have the Phil Hendry Show T-shirts in large, extra large, double extra large, triple extra large, and no, not fourple extra large, or whatever the hell it was you thought it was.
Well, you thought they had 4X. Yeah, don't even have that.
No, man, we got 3X. I think 3X is the biggest. 4X? Well, who do you know, man, that's that big?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I am.
No, no, no. I got into a 3X. I'm fine, okay? If I can get into a 3X, you can too. Anyway, it's over there at philhenryshow.com. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from Western Estates in Southern California. And this is a brand new kindergarten. And first of all, I congratulate you, Bobby, as the Homeowners Association president and the president of the Parent Teacher Organization, for helping shepherd this project.
Well, you know, Phil, it was very interesting, and thank you for having us on. We really appreciate it. It was very interesting because we did a number of coffees.
Yeah, you did coffees, did you say?
Yes, the coffees that you invite the parents to.
And, oh, okay.
And we did a lot of coffees with the prospective parents that we would like to join us in inaugurating our kindergarten. And we went to different homes. We had a lot of the teachers, our administrators, came and spoke to the parents and talked to them really about the support that we want to give the school. Now, it is a public school, but there's so much of what we do, extracurricular and otherwise, that requires a commitment from the parents. And we had such a wonderful response. And when enrollment started yesterday, we had a line of probably 300 parents.
Wow.
Yeah. There were 300 parents at the administration for enrolling kids.
300 parents to enroll the children. So I was very gratified as I saw this. And
now, do you have a kindergartner? I think you do.
Yes, Justin. And we enrolled him as well.
So you got him enrolled, huh? So there's 300 people. It's just first come, first serve.
Well, it's an interesting thing. It's what I wanted to mention to you. We basically went over there, I guess, about what time, Steve?
I went about 2 o'clock.
Steve went over at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we put down a chair. And in the chair, we sat a little teddy bear, and we said, okay, this is our place in line. And we did that, Phil, because I'm the Homeowners Association president. And we felt that the, I guess you could say, the prerogative of office.
Did anybody get upset with you? You put the chair right in front of everyone, huh?
If they did get upset, you're not going to really hear them, because there is a very clear understanding as the Homeowners Association president, the fact that, I guess you could say, my reputation precedes me. There was no real comment from anyone. I think I saw some disappointed faces, but the reason why I wanted to be the first to get into the school is, number one, I wanted to make sure that our son got into the school. And secondly, I wanted to make my statement that I had an awful lot to do with getting the school going. And thirdly, I wanted to make my statement that I had been through an awful lot to not only get the kindergarten going, but to get Western Estates going. So it was...
This was a statement by you, and it sounds like it's a very personal statement, when you put your chair first in line. So, question, why did you put the chair there? Why didn't you just stand there?
Because we were going to go over, first of all, we were going over to dinner, but we were also going over to pick my sister up from LAX, who was landing that afternoon. And then we went to dinner, and I did not want to stand there all night. So we put the chair there to ensure that our place in line would be kept.
Well, how do you know that you, this is interesting, how do you know that you weren't going to come back there and find your chair kicked out in the street?
No, they,
You don't know that they're not doing their duty.
That wasn't going to happen. That wasn't an option, I can assure you. So when I got back, the chair was there, and then I gave the signal to Gloria Kohlglaser, who is the assistant principal. I said, go ahead and open it up for registration.
All right, I want to just be, I want to get the timing here, and I want to give our number out, too. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So the kindergarten began registration today.
That's correct, yes.
All right, I'm sorry, I thought it was yesterday.
So that's when everyone started forming. That's when the line started forming.
Okay, I thought I heard you say that you started. So the line started forming yesterday at what time?
Steve?
Probably about 8 a.m.
About 8 a.m.
All right, but you didn't go over there until 2 in the afternoon, and you didn't stand in line. You put a chair there with a teddy bear or something, huh?
We put the teddy bear. It was just a whimsical statement to say, don't, you know, this is our place in line, and this is Dooley's place in line. And I put a I put a little notepad, or I should say a note, that said, the Dooleys, this is our place, and so people are not going to get any ideas. And that's when we left and came back. I guess we came back, Steve, when?
I don't know, about the next morning.
So you go over there at 2 o'clock, you put a chair down and say, here's where we are, our place is, and they opened up at what time?
We went back at about 10 o'clock, and when I got back, that's when I gave the high sign. I said, go ahead, open it up.
Wow. All right, so we're talking to Bobby Dooley here, and Steve Dooley is, they've opened up a new kindergarten at Western Estates. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and this is a kindergarten for everyone that lives there. But you guys were the first in line, and I'm curious.
It was only because that, you know, there's an awful lot that could go into this explanation. I don't know if you really want to go on about that. I wanted to talk about the school.
Well, I want to talk about the school, too, but I think it's interesting that that you put this chair to say you're first in line. No one moved it at all. They accepted you. If you'll pardon me for saying this, they accepted you butting in line.
No, we did not butt. No.
We did butt in line. Bobby and I, Homeowners Association, if you understand anything about it.
Let me explain it. I'm the Homeowners Association president, Phil. I really had to fight my way up through the ranks to get to where I am. There were a lot of people who didn't think I belonged on the Homeowners Association committee. There are a lot of people who just wanted me to go away. There were a lot of people who thought that I wouldn't amount to anything, that I was too modern in my dress. Steve and I are very together. We're very with it. The young people enjoy us. And that really frightened a lot of these old people on the Homeowners Association Committee. So I proved something to them. The other thing that I probably should mention is that Steve was with me, and Steve has some scarring.
What is that from?
I'm not proud of it, but I swung, they were barbecue tongs?
Yeah, barbecue tongs.
I swung barbecue tongs at him once, and I cut open his face. I was cited by the police. I had to go for questioning. It was extremely humiliating. But one thing that that did do is it gave me a reputation. And it gave me the reputation that I'm not a woman to be... I don't want to say, I don't want to scare anyone, but you don't really push me too much.
So your Homeowners Association presidency, along with the fact that your husband has a scar on his face, frightens people.
I don't think it frightens them.
No, Mr. That goes too far.
Yes, it does. It frightens them. It scares them. They know that you have a reputation for violence. They know that you're the Homeowners Association president. And that you seem to think they respect that. Well, I think they respect the fact that you're the Homeowners Association president. You have a reputation for violence. You cut open your husband's face. Were you cited? Did you have to go before a judge?
I did, and I was given probation, and I had to go to anger management.
Are you the same person?
This isn't really what that's about, Phil. This discussion tonight, and I'd like to keep it on track, is about our new kindergarten. And yes, how I am the Homeowners Association president, and that people do respect me, and if they respect me because I cut Steve's face open with, these barbecue tongs, then I guess that's what they're going to do.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Here is a woman, Bobby Dooley, along with her husband Steve Dooley, who've had a hand in opening up the new kindergarten over there at Western Estates. They were first in line to register their son, Justin, and people did not even challenge them, butting into line with their chair, because Ms. Dooley is the president of the Homeowners Association, but also she was arrested for domestic violence. And I think that that plays a lot into what's going on there, and I think it's fear. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. I want to tell you about ProFlowers, ProFlowers.com. And these are the people at, if you're watching our website right now, if you're watching the Phil TV in HD videocast, you can see to my right this beautiful set of tulips. Now, those babies are going to be fresh for a solid week, Jack. So go over to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, enter the name Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and you can order online with ease. ProFlowers offers these hand-picked flowers in over 185 fresh-cut varieties at proflowers.com, and they offer flowers for all occasions. Don't forget, Mother's Day is coming up on May the 8th. Your mom in your life, the mom in your life, the moms in your life will love it from ProFlowers.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're talking about school, a brand new kindergarten that opened up in Western Estates. It's a kindergarten, and it is a school that is a beautiful school, my understanding, Ms. Dooley. The only thing that I'm asking you about was, as the Homeowners Association president, you putting your chair in line first up so you could get your kid registered first. Is there something in the contract with the other homeowners that says that you, as the president, gets to register your child first in this school?
No, there isn't, Phil. It's deference to me as the Homeowners Association president. Phil, as I mentioned to you, came to live here with my husband, and at that time, my two sons, my son Justin was born 2 years later, and I was looked upon as a little bit of a Beau Brummel. There were things I wanted to do here. There were plantings. There was an upgrade in security. A lot of the homes were, I don't think, kept very well, and so I decided that I would institute these changes, but I needed to get on the Homeowners Association board. I fought my way onto that board, and in the process, I think they owe me, and I think that...
Oh, you think they owe you? So you feel this is something...
you're not psychoanalyzing me. I had to struggle all of my life. I was the only daughter of a very prideful military man. I was a military brat. The son that my father never had, that kind of thing. And continually had to prove myself to this man who had no idea how to give love to a daughter. And so when I finally became an adult and I married my husband, I think I thought the way a lot of women do. I wanted people to pay. I looked at the world and I said, you know what, you're going to pay for the way you treated me. And so,
Wait. We're getting a little psychological here. You're going to pay for the way you treated me. What has that got to do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why you've got to have the respect.
That's why I feel I am deserving of this respect from the Homeowners Association. That's why I feel they owe me.
So they owe you, and you had a hard life. We've all had hard lives in one way or another. You had this chair blocking off all of these people behind you, and my question, of course, is this: why you feel you have the right to do that? Now you say it's a Homeowners Association thing, but I'm telling you, when your neighbors saw the scar,
you're really beating that into the ground.
Yeah, but Granny, that was just something that happened a long time ago. She took the barbecue tongs. Can I do it?
Go ahead.
She took the barbecue tongs and just swung them at me. We were having an argument, and she took a piece of my face. I got a big chunk of, the scar.
And people see that. And I do want them to see that. I want them to see what I did. I'm very ashamed of it. I feel very sorry. But there's a part of me that wants to say, take a look at this and think. Look before you leap.
So it's a threat.
No, it is not a threat.
It is absolutely a threat. It is absolutely a threat. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Chris in Burbank. Chris, we got about 40 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually in Burbank on business, but I live in Georgia.
Yes, sir.
I belong to a homeowners association. I pay my $1,000 a year, and I'm paying for a pool. I'm paying for a tennis court. I'm not paying to get my kid into kindergarten. I waited in line just like everybody else. And if you think you need to put a chair in line, That's mm-hmm. ridiculous.
No, as the Homeowners Association president, I wanted them to hold that place.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you have to be a city taxpayer. And you and I are both city taxpayers. I don't care what city you live in. There's no reason why you should get special preferential treatment. It's ridiculous.
They owe me a lot.
You're an idiot.
What I've done wrong.
Phil Hendry.
You're probably a bad father.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
So a kindergarten has opened in Western Estates, California. It is a very, very nice kindergarten. It's a public school, but it obviously has the funding that one needs to put a beautiful school in place. And here we have Ms. Dooley and the rest of the parents there lining up to enroll their kids. Now, you put yourself first in line because you're the Homeowners Association president.
You're leaning too much on this.
My understanding was we called him to talk about school.
You're leaning an awful lot on this, Phil. I wanted to talk about the school. I wanted to talk about the things that are being offered.
I want to talk about the scared parents that didn't want to push your chair out of line. You walked over there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, and you put a chair down, and you said, this is where our place is going to be. You didn't ask. You didn't do anything.
That's right.
And you feel that you were entitled to that because you had to, you know, you had to pay your dues. You had to run a gauntlet to be a member of the Homeowners Association.
That's not all. I had to pay my dues. I had to run a gauntlet. A lot of women muttered things about me. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. And I was involved with one of the married men here. My husband knows about it.
And you were involved with one of the fathers?
That is correct, yes.
So, well, does it surprise you that you would have a reputation?
But the point is, that's not the point. The point is, I overcame all of that to become the Homeowners Association president. And as a way of people showing me respect for what I have done, that's why I put the chair there. I also bring my husband with me so that when they see the scar on Steve's face, they know that this is a man who lives with a woman who will
mete out some violence.
No, I wouldn't call it that.
Well, that's exactly what it is. A woman who will inflict violence on a husband.
No, I still...
It doesn't make any difference whether it's much your fault as it was hers. I've heard that argument coming from women who've been the victims of domestic violence. You know, you had barbecue tongs or whatever the hell they were, you know, rammed into your face, okay?
You know, calling him a victim of domestic violence makes him sound like a weak man. I'm a woman. I'm 5'3". And
well, you put a scar on that man's face that you use to this day, okay, to scare people. And to me, that is illegal intimidation. It's unfair. And there are a lot of parents there that let you get into that line just so they wouldn't have to suffer any of that or anything else for that matter. So I don't think you're, you paying your dues has anything to do with it. And I was, that's the part of the story that really shocked me.
You know something, Phil? I did pay my dues. And I did have to come up a hard way. And this is a little bit of payback for the way I was treated, not only by the people here, but by my father and by my, you know, the men in my life when I was growing up. They were all military men. They all expected me to be a boy. They all expected me to act as if I were some young cadet. There was very little affection shown in our family. And
none of this has anything whatsoever to do with a kindergarten. A new school, and you butting in line. None of this has anything to do with it.
I think it does. If you think about this, Phil, We go through life every day.
No, Ms. Dooley, you're sidetracking me. You're talking to me about your childhood as a, you know, your childhood as a young lady who was raised by a military family. I understand that. Your father didn't love you. What has this got to do with you sticking a chair at the front of the line so that your kid gets, you know, preferential treatment, and all the other parents are frightened because you brought along your husband with a scar on his cheek? You want people to know you're violent. You want people to know that you're the president of the Homeowners Association. You want to take out revenge on everybody that thought you couldn't do it, going all the way back to your father. Isn't that right?
It is the way we all are. It's the way we all are.
My wife leaves out the honesty.
Steve, let me do it. I'll do it. Because I know that my husband, Steve, understands, but I think I'm really the only one here intelligent enough to articulate this. And I'm sorry, Phil, but that includes you.
And okay, you can insult me. You know, you threaten people. And
no, I do not.
Yes, you do. You threaten people. And by the way, our number 877-876-7445 to talk to Bobby and Steve Dooley here. If you are parents who've been, you know, anxious to get your children into a special school, or you're dealing with, you know, other parents.
You're dealing with these other unreasonable parents. Is that what you wanted to say?
Well, yeah, if you're, yeah, exactly. You know,
Mr. Ray, we're just two parents like everybody else. My wife had a heart. Daughter of a military guy.
I'll do it, Steve. What I'm saying is we are all like that, Bill, in life. We all bring with us the baggage of childhood. And I am simply saying to you that that was the baggage that I brought with me.
Well, it sounds to me like you have a superiority complex. It sounds to me like you have a, it's a narcissistic thing.
You know, you're not Dr. David Viscott. Okay.
Well, you don't need to have a psychology degree to see somebody who's got a controlling nature. And if you're the president of a homeowners association, congratulations. I don't see where that gives you the right, even if you were treated badly by that homeowners association. You know what? Those people who live in that neighborhood might have treated you badly when you first moved in, but they had enough confidence and faith in you to turn around and elect you homeowners association president.
Yeah, you know, that we knew that they're lying.
Let me tell you about the liars. Those people only began voting for me after I put that... after I marked my husband.
Yeah, put the scar on.
When I put the scar on Steve's face, then we began to see people changing their tune. And
that's exactly what I'm talking about. It is fear.
No.
Yes, it is. It's fear. It's intimidation. And it's no way, I don't think, any way at all, to run a homeowners association. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we talk here about this school. And it's a good school. It's a kindergarten. It will, I believe it'll open next fall, and it will be a part of their now 1 through 12 program there at Western Estates. They have a middle school. They have an elementary school, a middle school, and a high school. And I know that both of your older sons attend the elementary and high school, right?
Yeah. Dylan and Seth are, Dylan is a sophomore, and Seth is an eighth grader. And Justin is going to be a kindergartner. And we're very excited because we will be the first family of Western States Kindergarten because we're the first in line. And
yeah, I guess they can't do it.
Well, you're the first in line because that's where you put your chair, you know. All right, 877-876-7445 as we talk to Bobby and Steve Dooley, and we're going to take some of your phone calls. We come back. You know, kindergarten is fine, and a school is fine, and all of these things are just fine. But when you are putting a chair down in front of everybody and scaring them with a scar on your husband's cheek, and you're telling them, you owe me, being a homeowners association president suddenly becomes you're the king of a feudal state. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, well, you know, I said goodnight to Bobby and Steve Dooley because there's no point. So anyway, thank you, Bobby and Steve Dooley. There's no point. No point talking to them, you know. You know, I'm only going to do so much work on this radio show, and then I'm going to put it on cruise control, you know, because, you know, it's up to me. And it's up to me to draw the phone calls, and it's up to me to produce the material. But, you know, frankly, this radio show that we do, a satire of talk radio, which, as I said, and I'll say it again, is the best thing that's on the air. You know, the best thing that's on the air. But I'm not going to keep breaking my ass for nothing, man. I mean, the way we've been treated in this industry, the way this radio show, the only show that's doing anything creative at all, with a dying format, talk radio, the most boring format in the history of the world. You know, we finally, are we going to get over the Obama bashing? No, we're going to keep on doing that. I'm looking at this dumb bastard, Donald Trump. Now, here's a guy who's actually proud of being stupid. He's proud of being stupid. Oh, excuse me, am I being too liberal? I'm sorry. Am I not towing the talk radio conservative line? Am I being too entertaining? Am I being too smart? Am I being too funny? That's our problem around here, man. We're just too much of everything. God almighty, I look at my life and my career, why I got it, this format with the conservatives and the Obama bashers, and, you know, forget about politics for just 5 seconds. This is what I do for a living, man. This is how I make my living. I try to do something creative with the medium, because I frankly can't do it any other way. I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning unless I could do something different. But in this business, you think that's going to get you anywhere? Forget it. I'm supposed to be on a panel at the Bonaventure this weekend. I got to tell you, why I want to go and be on a radio industry panel is anybody's guess. Why would I want to involve myself with any aspect of this industry? It's not going to get better. I could sit there on that radio panel and talk to a whole bunch of program directors who'd stare back at me with a stupid look on their faces, and the general managers, too, with a stupid-ass look on their faces. There wouldn't be any CEOs in the room. There's no executives in the room. There's no owners in the room. There's no guys with the money in the room. There's none of the guys that can make the decisions will be in that room. They don't go to that stuff. They go to the NAB, man. They hang out with other owners. They get hammered drinking their scotch and wearing their suits, because that's what they are, suits. And that's what they do, man. They don't want to hang around a bunch of air talent. And I'm supposed to go to this thing? I don't think it's going to happen. And I looked in the news here today. I don't want to put anybody on a bummer. But you know what? If I'm kind of on a bummer, well, that's tough. Jim Mandich. Here's a guy that I worked with at WIOD in Miami. He was a member of the undefeated 1972 Miami Dolphins. He was a beloved broadcaster, and he was a hell of a nice guy. And he was a football guy as well as a WIOD guy when we were working there. And I had no idea that Jim was sick. He has just died at the age of 62. He passed away yesterday. The Dolphins confirmed Mandich's death, but they didn't have immediate details. He died of cancer. He was diagnosed with cancer in early 2010. Chemotherapy left him gaunt. But he continued to be the unwavering voice of the Dolphins. Former Dolphin running back Jim Kick called the news devastating. For the Dolphin organization, this is going to be very difficult, Kick said. Everyone, former Dolphins all the way to the current players, knew him as a teammate and a man. I knew Jim as a broadcaster, and we did a bunch of golf tournaments for the Jimmy Rice Center down there, and he played in every one of them. In fact, I don't think there was anything you'd ask of Jim when it came to charity that he wouldn't be involved in. Kim Bocamper was a teammate of his. He said, when you thought about Jim Mandich, you thought about the Miami Dolphins. He was a Dolphin tight end for 8 years. He won 2 Super Bowls. He earned the nickname Mad Dog for his recklessness on special teams and his aggression going after the ball. He finished with 121 catches, and I believe he earned a Super Bowl ring with the Pittsburgh Steelers, too. So I lost 2 friends, man, and, you know, look, I mean, everybody got to die sometime. But, I mean, this last year I've lost 2 friends, both of them at that station, Neil Rogers and Jim Mandich. 2 guys that I liked and respected. One of whom was a mentor. And real broadcasters, real broadcasters, not this crop of fairies that we got now. Real career, lifelong broadcasters, not guys that were producing movies or chopping steaks or sweeping the street or something else. We got more amateurs coming into this business than you can shake a stick at. It's almost as if we don't like professionalism anymore in the radio industry. We want more amateurs. Bring us more amateurs. Bring us guys who offer nothing original or unique, just the same. Well, all right, in other news.
Well, I mean, you're right, but you're going to do about it.
There's nothing I can do about it. Why do I keep talking about it?
Yeah.
Why do I keep talking about it? There's nothing I can do about it. And there's, frankly, there's nothing I want to do about it. If I wanted to do something about it, that would mean that I have some feeling of responsibility or I have an affection for my business and I want it to make it, I want to make it better. Maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. Today, I don't care. I only care insofar as it makes my job more difficult. But to be honest with you, if the radio industry folded up tomorrow, it wouldn't break. I wouldn't break a sweat. Look at it, man. Braves pitching coach accused of hurling gay slurs. You know, next hour we're also going to do the Obama birth certificate thing. But I want to make sure that I get out of the way all of the things that, you know, all of the things that seem to be on the radar these days. The Atlanta Braves pitching coach Roger McDowell has apologized for allegedly hurling anti-gay slurs toward fans Saturday at San Francisco's AT&T Park. A California family represented by celebrity attorney Gloria Allred demanded the apology on Wednesday. Well, you know what? Major League Baseball should fine the guy if they're really concerned about their image. I'm deeply sorry that I responded to the heckling fans in San Francisco on Saturday. I apologize to everyone for my actions, said McDowell. Gloria Allred, I think we have a piece of audio from her. She's the attorney who was, I guess, representing the family that got called a bunch of...
Probably queer.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, here is, at a press conference today, Gloria Allred represents Giant fan Justin Quinn, alleges Roger McDowell verbally assaulted three men in the stands that he perceived to be gay.
Mr. Quinn heard Coach McDowell say to these men, quote, "Are you guys a homo couple or a threesome?" Then the coach allegedly grabbed a baseball bat and started shoving the small end through a circle formed by his finger and thumb, simulating sex. The coach then allegedly said, "Are you three giving it to each other?" Up the crude word for rear end. At that point, Justin shouted, "Hey, there are kids out here." The coach replied, "Kids don't effing belong at the baseball park." The coach then picked up his bat and started walking in a threatening manner towards Mr. Quinn.
Okay, if that actually happened, it sounds to me like Roger McDowell may have a brain tumor. If it didn't happen, then it sounds like there's going to be a hell of a court fight. Anyway, here is Allred with some demands.
Actions that we think are appropriate are that both Coach McDowell and the team should be fined, and Coach McDowell should be ordered to apologize to Mr. Quinn and his family and to all the fans and to the city of San Francisco for his homophobic, vulgar, and threatening behavior. Finally, we also believe that Coach McDowell should be required to undergo sensitivity training.
Okay, look, I mean, it's a crude thing to do, and baseball probably should fine him. The San Francisco, who's the team? The Atlanta Braves probably should fine him, but there's no law against saying, you know, you suck to someone in a variety of different ways. There's no law against insulting people. It's a insulting thing, you know, I mean, there's the hate speech thing.
Yeah, well, you are, if you call a guy an N-word, though,
well, the N-word, I think, is the N-word. The N-word is there's a lot of stuff going on with the N-word, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, there's just a lot of stuff going on with the N-word. The N-word is, like, big time, man. There's violence. You think of the N-word, slavery, when you think of the N-word, insulting behavior and segregation. And, I mean, God almighty, it's a word that is so insulting that they even apply it sometimes to some white people. You know, they've tried to, anyway. But we all know that it's... Now that's and other words that will prompt violent reactions are, you know, have to be dealt with. But a guy just taking a bat and accusing people of acting like, you know, gay guys, homosexuals, or otherwise stupid gay guys, or I don't know what he was, as crude as it is, and he's right. You know, if there's kids around, man, that's a drag.
Yeah, what about the kid, man? I'd start swinging on the guy.
Well, if there's kids around, that sucks. But the way you deal with that, and the way it's traditionally been dealt with, is that the ball clubs police that stuff, and the ball clubs hand out fines, and the ball clubs will suspend, Major League Baseball will suspend, or otherwise create some kind of a canopy of discipline. Now, what Allred's talking about here is taking somebody to court because they insulted someone, you know.
Are they?
What are you trying to say, bud?
Are they gay?
Who?
Oh, God, were they gay?
I don't know. Giant fan Justin Quinn attended the game with his wife and 9-year-old twin daughters. Said he asked McDowell to watch his language. All right, so no. According to Allred, the former New York Met pitcher told Quinn, kids don't bleeping belong at the ballpark. So, no, they weren't even gay. So you can't even say that the guy was that it was homophobia. See? Although maybe it was.
You thought he was gay.
Right. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Yeah, it's a little much. Yeah, I think it's gone a little bit too far.
Mr. Quinn heard Coach McDowell say to these men, quote,
"We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by..."
First of all, it's one of the best schools. We slept here outside in the rain.
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
You're fired.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Boy, and if you think that I'm losing my mind on the air, you ought to see me off the air. You ought to see our Phil TV in HD feed on our website, philhenryshow.com, because, Jim, I'm here to tell you that I almost walked off the show there about 5-10 minutes ago. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This is a radio show that no other talk show in the world could ever attempt successfully. No other talk show in the world could ever attempt. And we're very happy to be with you here. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass. You get audio, archived audio. You get our daily podcast. You get our daily podcast. Did I say we get a podcast?
Yeah, they have a picture of a nude woman.
It's not a bad idea. You know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah.
We can have, all right, here's our podcast, and it's like a picture of whoever, and then there's a podcast, and...
Yeah, get to be a picture of a, like, Michelle Bachman nude.
Oh, yeah, okay, man. You know, I'd like to finish my lunch, if you don't mind.
Are you crazy? That's the hottest thing that, well, okay.
You know, get him in to get some glasses fitted for him, okay? Because I was thinking maybe, but...
Are you kidding?
No, man, we got to take you in.
We got to take you in. We got to take you to the police is what we got to do. All right, so anyway, go over there, you get the podcast, you have our Classic Phil podcast, and our souvenir shop where you can pick up the Phil Hendry Show t-shirt available now, as well as our best of CDs, our legacy CDs. We have our, whatever the hell else we got over there. Our mug, our coffee mug is awesome. I have the coffee mug right here on our Phil TV feed. See that? There's the logo on both sides, and our shot glass. The shot glass will be busting out big time this summer, man. Oh, baby.
Yeah, that bad, huh?
Yeah, it's that bad. That's that bad. You know, I'm not a drinker. I'm really not a drinker per se. I was in my younger days. There's no question. There's no question at all that in my younger days, I loved to hit the ball a long way. But as I've gotten older, it's not, you know, anything that I need to do every weekend. So I can, for instance, the last drink I had has got to be 2 months ago.
What? Are you kidding me, man? How do you go that long?
I don't think about it. I don't need it. I just, you know... But I think this summer is going to be different. I think this summer we're going to do a lot of yucca, and it's going to be a pretty ugly thing. So join us, won't you? I'm kidding, but, you know. All right, 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as you well know, We had ourselves a big news story this morning, and that was that President Obama finally released the long, as they call it, the long form version of his birth certificate. Now, I understand that there was something called Certificate of Live Birth. Everybody became a real expert on this. And the president gave reasons for releasing this long-form birth certificate. The reasons that he gave, whatever that is, the reasons that he gave had to do with the country's being distracted by this. And I have to say, and this is just my own personal opinion, that while I am a conservative and I do care about the future of our country and I'm not necessarily a voting Democrat, I will tell you this. The president's office is something that I think should be respected, regardless of who it is that is occupying it. And when you're constantly assaulting the office of the president, every wingnut, every weirdass, every jackball, everybody who's a birther, anybody that's a truther, anybody that's a gipper, everybody pounding on the glass, pounding on the door, trying to sneak in through the back way, trying to get an audience with the Pope, trying to get an audience with the president, they got this problem, they got that problem. And then along comes a guy like Donald Trump, who I thought was a very credible guy when he was talking about China and trade and oil and OPEC. I thought he was extremely credible, and I wanted to hear more from what Donald Trump had to say. But the minute he opened his yap on birther, guess what happened, Trump? You lost me, man. I wouldn't vote for you now, man, if you were gold-plated. Because to me, that marks you as an idiot. This hour, we will have a debate from Dean Wheeler, the Northern California Holistic Center, and from Larry Grover. Mr. Grover is with the conservatives of Kern County, and we'll be talking with both of these gentlemen about this very issue. Now, this morning, the president released the birth certificate. He decried what he called silliness. He responded to the critics' relentless claims. He produced a detailed Hawaii birth certificate, an extraordinary attempt to bury this issue. We do not have time for this kind of silliness, he said. Who could possibly disagree with that? Who could possibly disagree with that? Now, here is at this morning's press briefing, President Obama speaking to reporters after the release of this long-form birth certificate.
This issue has been going on for two and a half years now. I think it started during the campaign. I have to say that over the last 2.5 years, I have watched with bemusement. I've been puzzled at the degree to which this thing just kept on going. We've had every official in Hawaii, Democrat and Republican, every news outlet that has investigated this, confirm that, yes, in fact, I was born in Hawaii August 4th, 1961, in Kapi'olani Hospital.
Obama says we've got more serious issues to focus on.
We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers. Now, I know that there's going to be a segment of people for which, no matter what we put out, this issue will not be put to rest. But I'm speaking to the vast majority of the American people, as well as to the press. We do not have time for this kind of silliness. We got better stuff to do. I've got better stuff to do. We got big problems to solve.
All right, Dean Wheeler joining us now from Northern California, and also in Southern California is Larry Grover. Dean, good evening.
Good evening, Phil. It's good to be on.
And Larry, how are you?
A very challenging day, indeed, Phil, for the country.
All right. I want to start with Dean. Your take on this, Dean, your feelings on this. I know you are a liberal and a backer of the president, so you must feel a great deal of satisfaction, or is it an irritant, as you just heard the president put it?
No, I think, Phil, more than anything, I think that this is a death knell for the conservative movement. And I'll tell you why, because I think it has made these people who insisted that Obama was not a citizen, who insisted that there was something wrong with Obama's birth record, who insisted he was hiding it for a reason, and that was because he was born in Kenya, that he was hiding it for a reason, and that was because he couldn't prove that he was an American citizen. Keep in mind, Phil, that this wasn't just people asking to see a birth certificate. These were people that were already convinced that this was not, this president was not a citizen of the United States. And I believe that this has been a big flat tire on the way to the White House Yeah, I know conservatives have been very proud of themselves since their election, their congressional elections in 2010. But they have come up against a bump in the road, a pothole here, that I think has done them a great deal of damage. They have not come off looking intelligent. And as a result, I think any conservative who comes across the least bit crackpot, and we put into that group, of course, Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann.
You think Sarah Palin comes off crackpot?
I think whether she is or not, I think the perception is that she is very extreme, yes. And so forth. Ron Paul, I don't think that this speaks well for any of those people. And so I think what's going on is that you're going to see the whatever head of state that the conservatives were able to get together, they're going to lose it, and we're going to see a resurgence of progressive thinking and voting as well.
All right. So, Dean, you think that this is, and boy, I can't really see it that way, but you think that this is some kind of a death knell, as you say, for the conservative movement. I'm going to have to ask you a little bit more about that. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County, you're a conservative. That's the name of your organization. What do you think?
This is a very difficult thing for me to talk about because I don't know that I can disagree with him. This guy that Mr. Wheeler. I don't know that I can disagree with him. And here's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Because I have been a long-time conservative, I watched our movement. I was hoping, along with many conservatives, that Obama would not be able to produce a birth certificate, that this might be the easiest way to get rid of this guy. And not only does he produce the document, but it's the right document. And so, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Are you saying that you agree with me? I'm saying that I am having a hard time mounting an argument against you. And if I'm having a hard time mounting an argument against you, I don't know that any conservative could, because I am a long-time writing as well as public speaking conservative. And
well, surely you can say, you know, I would say, being a conservative, I would say that the president was forced to, by public acclaim, you might want to say, to show that he is indeed an American citizen.
It's not public acclaim. It's something I heard you mention off the air yesterday during your video, you know, the video Phil TV video. And you
mean the Phil TV?
Phil TV. You said that it's not hue and cry. And
it's not hue and cry. You're right. But I still think that, and it wasn't hue and cry. What it was people saying, we want to see this document, and the president finally producing it.
You see, not a court case.
Yeah, that's the thing, Phil. The courts didn't ask him to do it. The courts had ruled in his favor, and the courts had basically thrown out all these early takes challenges, and so that when the president finally showed the birth certificate, it proved that the courts were right, it proved that the president was right, and it proved that a great many conservatives, like myself and others, were wrong. And you asked me, how do I debate this?
Well, why did you agree to come on this show? You knew it was going to be a debate.
Yes, I did know it was going to be a debate. But I thought that by the time I got to airtime tonight, I would have developed some line of thinking or an attack by which I could say to a liberal, look, we, you know, I don't know. Well, Phil, again, I would say this. The conservative movement has been dealt a vicious blow. And it is self-administered. It wasn't done to them. They did it to themselves by unrelentingly haranguing this issue of the president's citizenship and wanting to see the birth certificate. And now that we find out he is, these hardcore extreme conservatives like Mr. Grover have nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. And I feel for him.
I'm not asking for anybody, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
I'm not asking for anyone's sympathy here. I'm simply telling you, I'm being an honest man, and that's one thing about being a conservative. We pride ourselves on our honesty. I don't have any argument against you.
I don't have any argument against you.
So you're saying that he is right, that this could be the death knell of conservatives?
I think it could be, because I don't think we acquitted ourselves well. I think we looked stupid when we were pursuing this, we looked stupid. And now that the issue has been resolved, we stand there like the performer with the proverbial egg on his face.
All right, Larry Grover and Dean Wheeler on the radio here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, debating how Obama releasing the birth certificate, how will this affect the two political movements in this country. Dean Wheeler has taken the position that it's going to be a death knell for conservatives, the conservative movement, and Mr. Grover, who's a conservative, agreeing with him. And when I asked him why, he said he doesn't really have any argument against what Mr. Wheeler is saying. A death knell to the conservative movement? A death knell maybe to that aspect of the conservative movement that felt that this was a key issue, Obama's citizenship. How many of them there were, we didn't quite know. We did know there were some 30% of Americans who claimed they weren't sure about the president's citizenship. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we'll be back with Larry Grover and Mr. Dean Wheeler in a moment as they debate this issue, Obama's birth certificate, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here. Dean Wheeler and Larry Grover debating the release of this birth certificate, its effect. Mr. Grover, a conservative. Mr. Wheeler, a liberal. Both of them voting one a Republican and the other a Democrat. So, Mr. Wheeler, would you call yourself, you're a progressive Democrat?
Well, yeah, I like to call myself a progressive because I believe that the things I embrace are progressive stands on these issues.
Okay, and Larry?
Well, I'm a conservative. I'm an old-fashioned conservative. I'm a Ronald Reagan conservative. And what does that mean? It means people like to say, well, being a conservative is old school. Well, if you call the Constitution old school, the Constitution is very clear. The government has a very limited role, and the rest is up to us as individual citizens. I believe in that, and I embrace that. Obama's a liberal. He's a progressive, whatever you want to call him. As far as I'm concerned, he's just an old-fashioned FDR socialist. And I thought we had a shot when he would not release this birth certificate. And when I heard this early tape, she sounded like she was a little not quite had both oars in the water, however you want to put it. And she wasn't getting anywhere with the courts. I thought, well, I think they're hiding something.
And you found out they weren't, huh?
Excuse me?
You found out that they weren't.
Let me just finish what I'm saying here.
Yeah, Dean, let him finish.
Let me finish, and then you can get your shots in. And, well, I'm not trying to get in any shots, Phil. What I'm trying to say, it's my turn, and I'd like to...
Let Larry say what he wants to say.
And anyway, I don't disagree with you, Mr. Wheeler. I think the conservative movement of which I'm a part has been dealt a very difficult setback. We have been made to look stupid. We have been made to look ridiculous.
Well, not all conservatives were birthers.
Hold on, Phil. I want to disagree. Yes, they were. The conservative movement, by and large, was a birther movement.
Well, do you agree with that, Larry?
There's nothing I can say about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't argue with him. He's got the higher moral ground.
No, he doesn't have the higher moral ground. I'm asking you, do you believe what he just said, that the entire conservative movement was the birther movement?
I can't. What am I going to say to a man who's got... He's got me. Obama proved that he's a citizen...
No, I'm not talking about that now. He's simply describing the conservative movement within the Republican Party, within the Tea Party, wherever it exists, the libertarians. The conservative movement, he said, was comprised of birthers. What do you say to that?
There is nothing I can say because the man has won the argument. The conservative movement has been damaged, mortally wounded, by the fact that Obama comes walking out there with a big, excuse me for saying, crap-eating grin on his face, and here's my birth certificate. Now how does it feel? And I can tell you that,
Bill, to just follow up on what Larry was saying, the conservative movement is a birther movement, and this is why it's not taken seriously by the American people. And
not taken seriously by the American people. We just had a congressional election that was a major statement by the American people, voting in conservative Republicans and changing the face, at least, of the House of Representatives and making life a hell of a lot more difficult for President Obama. So I don't know where you get this idea that it is not making any progress. I think it's made a lot of progress.
Yeah, but now we've been set back because of the Obama birth certificate. People are looking at us as failures. And
that's right. Agreed. And I would also say that as a progressive, I look at this as one of the greatest things that could possibly have happened, embarrassing the conservative movement and, I think, giving some real truth to the belief that a great many conservatives in this country are not educated. And
well, I think that's uncalled for.
Then why else would they have believed the things they believe?
I think that's uncalled for.
I do, too, and patently wrong, because there are a great many conservatives that are educated. Nonetheless, we'll continue with this, and your phone calls at 877-876-7445 as Larry Grover and Dean Wheeler discuss the Obama birth certificate revelation today. He is a citizen of the United States. Out came the birth certificate. Larry Grover, a believer that the conservatives, of which he is a member of the movement, they have been dealt a pretty serious blow by this. And Dean Wheeler, liberal, saying, you're right. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here. And although getting less world famous as the seconds go by, and with us is our good friend Larry Grover and Dean Wheeler. Larry here in Southern California, Dean in Northern California. Dean is a progressive. I guess we got you guys, you know, you're in Northern California there, Dean, a progressive, Southern California, the conservative base. And I guess that's how that is. But we are talking to the country here about Obama's birth certificate. And this idea that it is the death knell of the conservative movement, Dean, that you've been trying to make this point now for the last half hour. This is it. This is the end. This is all that progressive needed. And you say it's because it shows them to be stupid. Now, you can't really believe that, can you?
Yes, I can believe that. I very much can believe it. I think that the conservative movement in this country is comprised of some of the most ignorant people, and yes, racist. I don't think, let's be very clear about something. This was a racist effort from the very beginning.
You really think racist?
Absolutely racist. Only Obama, because he's black and his father came from Kenya, would people say, well, now, he must not be from America. There's something very exotic about that. The Muslim school in his background had people worried. And again, driven by conservatives, coming from a racist point of view, the conservatives expose themselves for what they are, which is an ignorant movement born of a very frustrated people that the times are changing.
I want to get Larry. Larry, what's your feeling on that?
Well, I wish I could argue with him. I wish I could tell him he's wrong, but I can't. They proved today.
No, wait, hold just a minute here. He just said that the conservative birther movement is racist. You agree?
I can't disagree with him because the guy was proven. Obama showed his birth certificate today. The progressives were proven right. Obama's a citizen. And so anything I say is going to sound like sour grapes, and I'm going to sound even stupider than he says conservatives are. Are we stupid? I didn't think we were. When Obama showed the birth certificate, then I said, you know what? I'm an idiot. I looked in the mirror, and I think a lot of conservatives across the country looked in the mirror and said, you're about 6'2" of stupid. I'm 6'2", but however tall, and that's how I felt.
6'2" of stupid, huh?
That's how I felt, and until something comes along that can jar us out of this, I'm stupid.
All right, 877-876-7445. Here is John in Kansas. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler and Larry Grover.
Well, fellas, I've got a couple points to make. First of all, I find it very ironic and very hilarious that the President of the United States, which holds the most powerful position in the United States, can wait 2.5 years to produce a birth certificate, and a 12-year-old little leaguer has to do it before they step the field. That's first. Second, it's not going to damage anybody's position in the conservatives at all, because if the American people, and I'm going to quote Obama, the majority of the American people I'm talking to, which I fall into that, don't actually suspect anything suspicious, the fact that it takes them 2.5 years, and the fact that, oh yeah, in 2.5 years, oh, he can magically produce a birth certificate. We are all naive if we don't think that the most powerful person in America can fake a birth certificate. You have 50 billion crackheads in a world with fake IDs every single day.
You know something? You really are an addicted conservative. There's no cure for you. You just are. And all the problems of the world, you want to concentrate into Barack Obama. Do you take responsibility for anything? Are you an American citizen? Are you responsible for anything? You have to hang on to your little birther.
All right, well, all right, he hung up. 877, Larry, did you want to make a comment?
I think that it's embarrassing to hear a conservative like that, because that's essentially what we've become. You know, we've become addicted to the birth certificate issue, and as a result, we don't know any other issue to talk about. We got caught with our pants down around our ankles. I think there's a lot of conservatives today that want to hang on to it, want to keep arguing it. And I noticed that he hung up because he didn't want to have to argue the point.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a break here. Larry Grover and Dean Wheeler, and both our guests, a conservative and a liberal, say the GOP cannot recover from the birther issue. Will the birther issue hurt the GOP's chance? Well, we've been asking that question for the last 40 minutes. 877-876-7445. Still to come, maybe nothing, maybe more of the show. The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, every night we do Phil TV, and my subscribers can see what I'm going through every night. I'm in a fight to the death. I'm in a fight to the death inside of a radio industry that has bent over and spread and oiled up for liberal conservative talk radio. Mark Levine, Glenn Beck, Stephanie Miller, you're either a liberal or a conservative. And they have destroyed this medium. And I'm in a fight to the death to try to change that, man. I'm sitting here trying to do comedy. I'm sitting here trying to do satire at 1 o'clock in the morning inside of an industry that doesn't care, an industry that would rather do it the easy way, hire the Fred Thompsons, burn them out after 6 months, fire them, put another name in there, somebody that can't do a radio show any more than they probably know how to blow their nose. But you can make some cheap dollars off of that and then blow that out, put somebody else in there, Robert Wall, and just keep doing that, man. And anybody that actually knows how to do radio, that wants to do something creative, bury them, man. Bury them! Because, you know, radio that I grew up with, it was not about being either a liberal or a conservative or crapping on a president or not. It was about a lot of different things. But you know what? This medium is so tired and so old and so really so boring that I don't blame them. You know, they're trying to squeeze the last penny they can out of radio before they drop a nuclear bomb on the whole industry and just move on to internet or move on to, I don't know what, man, you know, satellite. I mean, take a look at how good they're doing. Not take a look at how good satellite radio is doing. But, I mean, at this particular point, it seems to me that the people that run the radio industry are looking to squeeze the last dollar they can out of this trite garbage that they've got on the air, the Obama-bashing conservative liberal thing, before they just drop a bomb on it. And anybody that's doing any kind of shtick outside of Morning Drive. But I understand that people listen to me right now, they don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. And you want to know why you don't know what I'm talking about? Because the clowns that have run this business into the ground have made sure that you don't know what I'm talking about. Obama, he's the president. What do you want from me, man? There can't possibly be anybody out there in America stupid enough to believe that if Obama were magically not president anymore and there was another president there, that things are going to get just so much better right off the bat because the guy's a Republican instead of a liberal. You can't possibly be that dumb. You can't possibly. Haven't you been alive? Haven't you seen what becomes of this country when a president enters the White House? He can be a conservative. He can be a liberal. He becomes a president. He does things that pisses off everybody. Both parties. You think Bush was beloved of Republicans and conservatives? They you know, they couldn't run fast enough away from that guy. They couldn't stick the shank in his back fast enough. Same thing with Obama. Now he's got all these liberal and progressive and Democratic politicians and voters calling the guy Bush Light. And that last caller, the last guy we had, saying, do you really think that after 2.5 years, the most powerful man, are we going to be engaging in that kind of rhetorical hogwash for the rest of our lives now? Is that what it's going to be? It's going to be one of these, you know, well, it stands to reason. Do you really think? Nobody's going to use their brains anymore. Obama, that's right. He's so powerful to what he did. After 2.5 years, he really gussied up the birth certificate. Look, if you're addicted to the birth certificate issue because you're so dumb you can't figure out any other way to criticize this president or to be against this president, then do me a favor, okay? Just, I don't know, enroll in the Alex Jones Book of the Month Club or something. Donald Trump, like I was telling you, here's a guy that I really admired. Here's a cat that I wanted to hear more from. Donald Trump is an imbecile. And he's now officially stupid. Taking credit for it. Taking credit for what, Trump? I never heard anybody asking John McCain for his birth certificate when that controversy about his place of birth, the Panama Canal Zone, was he in fact an American citizen? You remember all of that. I don't remember anybody asking him to pull out the birth certificate, do you? I remember them wanting to take it to the courts. I remember them wanting to have it adjudicated in the courts. But I never heard anybody say, let's take a look at the birth certificate. I never heard anybody say, let's take a look and find out exactly where he was born. They took his word for it. Well, no, Phil. You know he had to produce it. Oh, really? I mean, that's what I thought Obama did, but I guess he didn't produce the right one, man. How do I know that McCain produced the right one or any of those guys? After a while, I mean, there must be people out there that think that the whole human race is dumb from sun up to sundown, and they can't figure some things out for themselves. And I'm telling you right now, as I sit here, I just ain't one of those people. I can see in this birther thing a blatant manipulation of the political climate based upon this guy's race. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I wasn't born yesterday. This is all about this guy being a black president Kenya, Indonesia, Muslim, and a bunch of white boys getting nervous about it. Don't give me this bull crap about how, you know, we aren't sure this, that, this, that. You just heard this, this clown calling from Kansas saying, oh, well, you know, I still don't believe it. Well, nothing's going to convince him. Nobody can read the history of the United States and not recognize that, you know, we got a hang up when it comes to race. We got a black president. You better believe there's going to be some stuff that people are going to want to talk about. They're going to start attributing things here, there. And, of course, I'm not a racist and all that other crap, sure. Donald Trump, meanwhile, who is really making a run for becoming the most disliked man in America, it seems, he now is taking Obama to task for his Harvard education. Now, understand something. Anybody with any brains looks at this president and looks at this administration and looks at 2012, and how likely is it that this guy, Obama, is going to get reelected president of the United States? Maybe not very likely. Now, you're Donald Trump, and ostensibly you're looking to become president of the United States, maybe even get your party's nomination. So what do? You start going after Obama? Or do you start talking about the things that you know about, the economy, and so forth? Trump gave up on the economy. He gave up on talking about trade. He gave up on talking about energy. He gave up on talking about manufacturing. Why did he give up on that? Because he thinks that it was tactically the wrong move, that it's easier to beat up on Obama, and people are going to love you for that. All I hear are a bunch of people beating up on Obama, and I don't know what the hell they stand for. I don't know what they've got to say about anything. Here's Donald Trump now. This morning, he says he now wants to know about Obama's grades.
The press is very protective of President Obama. Very protective. They're not protective of me, but they're protective of President Obama.
You're not the
president.
And
they're not protective of most other people either, in all fairness. The word is, according to what I've read, that he was a terrible student when he went to Occidental.
So was Kennedy.
He then gets to Columbia. He then gets to Harvard. I heard at Columbia, wasn't a very good student. He then gets to Harvard. How do you get into Harvard if you're not a good student?
You heard, man. You want to bring anything of substance to the table, or do you just want to be a rumor monger so you can, like a lot of people think, so you can get the numbers up for your celebrity apprentice? That can't possibly be true. Trump wonders why Obama just doesn't release the transcripts.
Why doesn't he release his Occidental records? Well, I'll tell you why, who cares? Because everyone says he was a great student. Well, if he was, that's great, and if he wasn't, that's great. I was a very good student. Well, I think academics, you know, I'll tell you what, education has always meant a lot to me. And I think education is good. And I think if he wants to release it, that's fine. And if he doesn't want to release it, that's fine, too. The word is, you know, you'd think he'd want to release it.
The
word is he wasn't a good student and he ended up getting into Columbia and Harvard. I'd like to know, how does he get into Harvard? How does he get into Columbia if he isn't a good student? It's an interesting thing.
How'd you get a TV show, man? So, in any event, there's Donald Trump, who has given up talking to America about what he would do to China, given up talking to America about what he would do with Libya and what he would do with the OPEC nations. He's given up talking to America about how to get the dollar stronger. He's given up talking to America about how to get that big national debt paid down. He's given up talking to America about all of these very positive things that he was involved in when he first began to speak about the national scene and the national health as a when he began to talk like a candidate, if he hadn't actually announced. He's given up doing all of that, and now he's talking about Obama in the most boring manner possible. First of all, it's about the birth certificate, and here comes Obama with a birth certificate, and now it's about the transcripts. Now, what if Obama releases the transcripts and they all look about the way most presidents' transcripts look? I don't know, but something tells me we didn't exactly have a lot of rocket scientists as presidents when it came to their college educations. For instance, I believe that John Kennedy was not a very good student. I don't know what kind of grades Ronald Reagan got. Do you? What kind of grades did Daddy Bush get? I know that Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, so that pretty much speaks for itself. kind of grades did Gerald Ford get? What kind of grades did Dwight Eisenhower? He was a West Point cadet. I don't know at what point he graduated, what position in his class he graduated. What kind of grades did Harry Truman get? Are we really interested in that? Does it really say anything about a man? Does it? You know how people change in their lives, how people, how they reorder their priorities, how they sometimes can go from being very slothful and very lazy and not interested in much to finally getting motivated. Look at your own kids. Look at yourself. There are a lot of people listening to me right now that you can look back on your college days and you know that you didn't have very good grades. Am I to devalue you now as a leader of people? Am I to devalue you as a leader of a company, for instance? The leader of a division or the leader of a small shop or just someone who knows his own mind or her mind? Am I supposed to devalue you now because you didn't get good grades in college? What kind of a conversation are we having here? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the kind of a conversation that Donald Trump is smart enough to know the American people understand. The rest of it, we don't. Donald Trump has probably given up on talking about the economy because he doesn't think we understand it. He's given up on talking about the national debt. He doesn't think we understand it. He's given up on talking about China and the debt that they carry. We don't understand that. He's given up on all these things because he doesn't think we have the gray matter between our ears to understand what it is he's talking about. Is he right? He may be. But I can tell you, just for this voter here, Phil Hendry, I was way more interested in him as a candidate when he was talking about those things. Now he bores me to tears, that son of a gun, with all of this stuff about the transcripts and Obama's birth certificate. He's just another weird ass out there hammering that topic to death. So finally, you know, here comes the birth certificate. Now, if the guy can come out with these transcripts, man, maybe we can just shut Trump's mouth altogether. And he goes back to doing his TV show, and that's the end of that, man. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry show here. We have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard coming up in the news and information hour. What a unbelievably dead radio show this has been tonight. Unbelievably dead. And mix it in with some of the... It has been a disastrous, un-freaking-believable, man. 877-876-PHIL. News and information hour coming up next. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. We've got archived audio there. We've got podcasts there. We have Phil in HD, Phil TV in HD. So it's a beautiful thing, man, if nothing else. And, of course, our brand spanking new Phil Hendry Show T-shirts in the shop. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This issue has been going on for two and a half years.
Yeah, it's a little much. Yeah, I think it got a little bit.
Never claimed she was homeless. Never told us she was homeless.
Why doesn't he release his Occidental record?
I saw a man expose himself.
I'd go crazy.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And speaking of Donald Trump...
I saw a man expose himself.
That's the next thing you're going to have to get on Trump to really keep people interested, man, because after the birth certificate and the transcript thing, because you've given up on talking about any important stuff, you're going to have to walk around with your fly open. Yeah! This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Although I'm beginning to rethink that one, man. There's probably a lot of talk shows that wish they could go where we go, but upon further reflection...
Yeah, when you look at how tough it is and everything.
Nah, they don't care about that. They don't care about the work. I mean, other radio shows would do what we do, even if they had to break their asses to do it, even if they had to work themselves to the bone to do it, but they don't because they can't. However, having said that, maybe they look at a guy like Phil Hendry, who is creating this kind of weird-ass radio, and they think, oh, who needs that? Who needs the grief he gets? We really like that show you do, Phil. And then they stare at you with these bug eyes like you come from Mars. I still haven't heard from anybody about that thing. Have you?
I looked at the email.
I'm supposed to do this thing on this weekend. I'm supposed to be at a thing, right?
Yeah, well, they'll probably tell you what's today.
Today's going to be today's Thursday. Today's Thursday. Oh, and another thing, today, Thursday, is the final record for Napoleon Dynamite. So, you know, we do our show late, and that's how we do our show. But then we got to get out of bed early and head on over to Santa Monica to record the you know, stuff for the TV show, the animated show. And so it's, you know, it's a quick turnaround, and that's my life. And I don't mind it, man. I wouldn't mind it near as much if doing this radio show wasn't such a, it's like having a wisdom tooth, man, that just keeps on aching. The stuff that we've done on the air here, just in the last year and a half since we came back and started doing our character show again, we've done some damn good radio. Well, it doesn't make any difference, man, any more than it made any difference about 6 years ago when we were doing epic radio, man, record-breaking shows, record-breaking. I mean, amazing stuff. It's called radio, you know? But our industry was not interested in it and has gotten even less interested in it. What are they interested in? They're interested in the guy that used to write monologues for Sean Hannity and now has his own radio show, Mark Levine. That's what they dig. And they'll be pissed at me that I'm saying something about Mark, who I think is a great guy, and he's a very smart guy. But there's a big difference between that and doing a radio show. You don't have to necessarily be smart. And then, of course, we have this notion that those radio shows that I just mentioned actually have audiences. I hate to break the news. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't have box office boffo audiences. But the radio business has invested so much in liberal, conservative, that they have to somehow delude themselves into thinking that people are listening to that crap. They're not. You can take a look at the ratings on half those shows, man. They stink. And meanwhile, here we are, you know, fighting for our lives. So, you know, it's been a tough week. What can I tell you guys? Last night we had this situation with whatever the hell it was. What was it?
Well, that was
so this has just been on and off and on and off for the longest bloody time, I'm telling you. All right, moving along here, this is our news and information hour, so what we do is we go through the news like we weren't doing that the last 20 minutes, only this hour I allow Robert and Bud to make a few comments, although I probably should have let you make comments last half hour. It would have been a lot more interesting. And anything else that comes our way. Now, here's a story that I know everyone will enjoy. A high school girls didn't know the man who had just tossed candy onto their cafeteria table as they reached to pick it up. Prosecutors say the man, Brockton High Counselor Galen Stone, trained a cell phone camera on their chests and photographed them. The girls felt uncomfortable and confronted him, school officials said. He left, and they complained to administrators. Their actions led to the investigation and eventual arrest of Stone, who was charged Tuesday in Brockton District Court with criminal harassment and accosting or annoying a person of the opposite sex. And they're high school students, so isn't there something about child endangerment or molestation?
Well, what do you mean child? You didn't touch him or nothing.
Well, they're kids. They're kids. What the hell? You know, that's not a hard one to figure out. They're kids, okay? They're underage. Court paperwork says several videos reveal what appear to be females bending over to pick something up or females bending over a desk to reach for something. It's alleged that Stone would drop a piece of chocolate in front of the students, enticing the female students to bend over and pick it up. A total of 54 video files were found on this dumbass's phone. After students complained to the administration, two Brockton High officials, Matthew Beals and Gene Ryan, called Stone to a meeting and asked him if he knew what it was about. He said, "Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. Yes, I do." Brockton High, West Middle School, and what appears to be retail clothing stores also identified in the video, according to the files. Authorities say the 55-year-old man from Needham works at both schools. He'd been ordered to stay away from the victims and have no unsupervised contact with anyone under the age of 18, yada, 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 yada. His attorney has tried fighting that in court because Stone wants to attend his daughter's graduation. No, man, are you out of your mind? You can't attend your daughter's graduation. You're going to have a pocket full of candy.
Well, you think the guy's going to do it there?
I'm kidding. I don't know. He can't be that stupid. I guess he can.
God, sure, he's going to go to his daughter's graduation, do what? And he'd go up and get a diploma and toss a candy. That'd be pretty worth it, though, to see it. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Looking at that stuff is against the law, too. You know that?
What?
Looking at the kid pornography.
Well, I'm not really kid.
Yes, they are under the age of 18. And I'll tell you something else, man. You may think the guy, ha, 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 and all that crap, and he's going to go to jail. If you receive files like that via the email, you call the cops. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, why?
What do you mean, why? Because you've gotten a piece of criminal, that is criminal material. That shows underage kids, and they are being sexually exploited visually, and that is illegal to transport that stuff or transfer it or however they say it, you know.
Send it.
Okay, send it. Send it.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's illegal. Don't tell me you've gotten stuff like that.
No, I ain't got nothing about it. But what's I can say? What's wrong with looking at it?
Don't look at it. Don't do nothing. If you see it, I guess you're going to have to see some of it. If you do...
Yeah, but see, then I'd be in the law against it.
No, you wouldn't, man. If somebody sends you an email and they have a video attachment, you go, oh, thanks. And then maybe it says, you know, last weekend's Charger game, and you open it up and there's kiddie porn. You close it down and you call the cops.
What if it's a friend of yours?
A friend of yours? In the kiddie porn?
No, the guy that sent it.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. What, you still call the cops?
Oh, come on, man. That's hardcore. That's cold. Cold as ice.
Well, dude, you know what? Then you might want to call him up and have a good long chat with him and say, you know what? Because you're my friend, I'm going to give you one warning, man. Don't ever send me that crap. And if I were you, I would take my computer and set fire to it because there's no way you're ever going to be able to delete all that stuff. But, you know... You know that, right?
Well, yeah, but I didn't really know it.
But I'm telling you, if you got anything in your computer, you got to get rid of it. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't store nothing.
That's where you get into trouble. You remember that guy I was talking about, that radio guy?
Yeah.
He stored that crap, man. That's where he really got into trouble. Not only did he store it, he sent it through the email, and that, brother, that was the end of that. Don't do it. All right, so this jackass, they also found pornography found on his cell phone, but authorities are saying that it's not connected to any of the students. Stone was arrested by police Monday night at his parents' home. He's due to return to court on June the 30th. This jackass thinks he's going to go to his daughter's graduation. He's 55 at his parents' home. What is up with this cat?
Sounds like he's got a stunted something.
Yeah, I'll bet he's got something stunted. Yeah, he's all messed up, man. He sounds like Norman Bates, only both parents are alive. You know?
Who's Norman Bates?
The guy in Psycho. You know, the guy that kept his mother in the... You guys didn't see that?
Yeah, I saw it. He kept his mother in the cellar, and he had her down there with the apples.
What are you laughing about, man?
What he just said. Yeah, man, I saw that. His mother was in the cellar, and he had her down there with the apples.
Well, he did.
What do you mean down there with the apples?
That's where they put, like she did a fruit preserve.
Oh, who knows about that? Anyway, yeah, so I want you guys to make sure that you call the cops if you ever get any of that stuff, and you don't keep anything in your computer, and if you know anybody that trades and trades in that stuff, man, send it to the coppers. You don't want that stuff. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show, our News and Information Hour. University to charge higher tuitions to students based on the major. Well, that's a sexy topic. How the hell did we get that as a story? Based on your major. Okay. And other news. Braves, well, we already talked about the Gloria Allred going after that Braves pitcher who said that he made some. It was the pitching coach who made some crack about. Do you know what causes leprosy? Armadillos.
Get out of here.
That's what they're saying. But I don't want to read that story either. Well, we'll see. We'll find something here, folks. It's just absolutely freaking dead. Not the news, the show. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget to get over to philhendryshow.com and visit our website for our live streaming video, which is Phil TV in HD. And right now, behind me, the beautiful El Pacifico. We also been checking out C-SPAN tonight to see what up. U.S. Chamber of Commerce Aviation Conference. Oh, yeah.
Look pretty good, man.
And other things that we occasionally will source. Nothing too heavy. Rachel Maddow says gay news anchors have responsibility to come out. Cautions, she wasn't referring to Anderson Cooper. Why? Well, we'll find out. Rachel Maddow has a message for gay news anchors. Come out of the closet. It's your responsibility. I'm sure other people in the business have considered reasons why they're doing what they're doing, not revealing that you're homosexual, but I do think that if you're gay, you have a responsibility to come out, Maddow tells The Guardian. But, in a blog post she wrote immediately after news reports about her interview began to emerge, Maddow stressed that she was not talking about CNN's Anderson Cooper, as many outlets speculated. I wasn't asked about that queer, she said. I'm kidding. No, she didn't.
Man, that would have been so funny if she said that.
Yeah. No, she didn't say that. I wasn't asked about Anderson Cooper, which is kind of like the old joke, you know, did you tell him where it hurt? No. Why? He didn't ask. Come on. I wasn't asked about Anderson Cooper. I didn't say anything about him. He literally was never discussed during the interview. Well, wait a minute. You said that people that are gay have a responsibility to come out. Now, excuse me. God, man.
You want some water?
Well, give me the coffee there. Now, here, let me ask you something. It's not that big of a jump because Anderson Cooper is very publicly living with his partner. They have publicly adopted or are in the process of adopting a child. So there is nothing, he's not hiding anything. And that may be his way of, quote, coming out. So what does he need to come out about? I mean, I think Anderson Cooper, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're living with another dude and you are adopting a kid with that dude.
I don't know, man. You can still be straight.
What are you talking about?
You nuts or something? Well, why couldn't you?
What do you mean? If you're living with another guy and you're both straight and you two guys decide you're going to adopt a kid together and you're telling me that that happens?
I don't know, man. Unless you come right out and say, and by the way, I'm gay. If two dudes go in and they say, I want to have a, you know, we want to adopt a kid.
Yeah.
And the guy says, okay, the two of you? Yeah. But we're straight. Well, they wouldn't have to say that.
What? What did he say?
He's saying, do you go in if you got a dude and you're living with a dude? You go in and say, we want to adopt a kid, and you got to say you're gay?
Do you got to say you're gay? I guess what I'm thinking is it's assumed.
Aha, man, you can't assume nothing, remember? Assume, make an ass out of you and make an ass out of him. Make ass out of everybody.
Assume, ass out of you and me. That's what the nun, when I was a kid, she would put A. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't even think you know what you're talking about. Two guys go in to adopt a kid.
Sounds like a joke.
Yeah, it is a joke the way he's talking about it. Two guys walk in to adopt a kid. They adopt the kid, and at no time do they tell anybody they're gay. In fact, they're both straight.
Yeah, then they take the kid home, and there's two girls waiting for him.
Uh-huh. Then what?
Well, then they decide.
Oh, will you guys get real? Two dudes go in. That's what Anderson Cooper did with a friend of his, and I believe it was I don't know, but they've got to be gay. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that could be, homophobic or something.
Hobophobic. Anyway, here's Rachel Maddow. She says, I wasn't asked about Anderson Cooper. How dare you think that I was talking about Anderson Cooper? Why, that queer never crossed my mind, she said, as she raised her hand in a sort of mock gay, limp-wristed attitude. Although criticism of Mr. Cooper was intimidated by The Guardian and picked up by everyone, I do not make that criticism in the interview, nor is it what I believe. She also emphasized that gays should all get to decide for ourselves if and when we feel that we can come out. Ms. Maddow said, look at me. I haven't come out, so you can't really tell whether I'm gay or not, and don't you dare try to guess, she said. No, she didn't say that. She said, she also emphasized, she said that she's one of two openly gay anchors at MSNBC, along with Lawrence O'Donnell. Now, anyway.
Really?
No. She's one of two openly gay anchors at MSNBC, along with Thomas Roberts. Who's he?
You mean, who's she?
What do you mean, she? I don't know. Who's he, she? She frequently mentions her relationship with longtime partner Stan Mikita, the former Blackhawk? No, I'm sorry, Susan Mikula, and defends herself from those critical of her sexual orientation. I'm not critical of your sexual orientation at all, Rachel. I want you to know that. I am not. But the low-cut thing, you know.
I know, man. It's always doing that.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to tease us.
Well, I wouldn't call it that. But, Rachel, you wear that sports jacket, and then you have the thing. Anyway, no biggie. Gawker.com, and it ain't called Gawker.com for nothing. Gawker.com took advantage of the Guardian interview and drew attention to the off-speculated gay anchors. They wrote, "We've been saying the same thing for a long time." What's that? Just the same thing. No, they said, but then again, Maddow may not have meant Anderson Cooper necessarily. Who cares if she was or she wasn't or she... She had to say that because she's obviously friends with the guy, and she didn't want him to be pissed off or upset. She was talking about... I'll tell you what happened. She made this statement, and then she realized, uh-oh, I've got some friends in the business who are not, you know, officially out, and this may offend them. So, you know, her mouth wrote a check that her brain couldn't necessarily cash, and she had to back it, you know, she had to kind of backpedal or something.
So she's trying to make a big statement and realized it couldn't be that big.
Well, yeah, I mean, in other words, I don't even necessarily disagree with what she's saying. It's probably a good idea. What the hell, man? If you're a news anchor and you're delivering the news, you don't want to be the news. You don't want somebody to come along and say, and by the way, you know, so-and-so, Joe Blow, probably not a very good name for a fictitious gay guy, you know, Joe...
Joe Suck,
no. In any event, he's gay, and he's giving you the news, and he can't even tell you the truth about himself? So... what they said in Gawker, we've been saying the same thing for a long time, but then again, Maddow may not have meant Anderson Cooper necessarily. She could have been talking about Fox News's Shep Smith. Now, that's one for speculation for a long time. Now, if you have any gay friends, and I do, the whole gaydar thing is really important. Like, straight people ain't got it, but gay people do. So, you know, you got to ask your friends, and I mean from, that's where I found out that Carl Lewis is gay.
Get out of here, man. Are you telling me the truth?
Well, I shouldn't, but that's what I heard.
Carl Lewis, the guy in the Olympics.
Exactly. Anyway, she could have been talking about Fox News' Shep Smith or Good Morning America's Sam Champion and Robin Roberts. Robin Roberts, man.
Yeah, she probably, I think she hits the ball. I think she hits fast pitch.
Yeah.
Fast pitch. Anyway, there sure is a lot of closet space in TV news, but at least we have a brave bunch. Rachel is setting a good example. Oh, brave Butch. There's a lot of closet space in TV news. If there's a lot of closet space in TV news, then that means there's not a lot of people in the closet, and that means that there's not that many people that haven't come out. So you kind of butchered that again, didn't you, Gawker? You suck. And yes, Rachel is Butch, but she's, you know, she's pretty.
She looks like Elvis.
She looks like Elvis Presley, right. We'll be back here in a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, what? Oh, a woman using the reality TV show as a defense
Phil
of the murder case.
Phil Hendry. Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here at our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way with us. We do have a story that we think is of import, and that has to do with a woman who is using a reality TV defense in a murder-for-hire trial. But first this. And boy, is this is the saddest, sickest, it's grungy, it's grody, it's nauseating, and it's pretty weird. A Central Ohio man allegedly told police last week that he...
Oh, man, not this story, man. Don't do it, man. Please don't do it.
Oh, don't cry, man. I gotta do it. It's newsworthy.
Yeah.
A Central Ohio man allegedly told police last week that he likes to drink the beep of adolescent boys.
God.
Now, this is a weird dude, man. And I've heard it said, if you don't hurt anyone, then can you really call it a malady? Is it a psychological malady? Is it a psychological illness if you don't hurt anyone? Well, what if you're hurting yourself? And I think that drinking a boy's beep and... You know what I'm talking about, Robert?
No, man. You ain't telling nothing. You ain't saying nothing. You got to say it.
You can't say the word.
I'm going to say the word. Urine.
Oh.
You asked me to say it.
Oh.
You told me to say it, man.
Oh!
God, man, you sound like a chick.
Oh, man, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Alan Patton is in jail after allegedly telling Gahanna, Ohio police about his affection for the bodily fluid. Good God almighty. You imagine being a cop. I mean, those guys, there is nothing they hear. There's nothing that they hear that is not the most depraved thing at some point. He will be formally charged with criminal mischief and unlawful collection of a bodily substance. It's a new law to Ohio, which was put on the books in part because of this guy's past behavior. Oh, God. Police said Patton goes to family restaurants. Police said Patton goes to family restaurants and movie theaters and waits for the boys in a bathroom stall. Investigators said he shuts off the water to the child-level urinal and puts a cup in the bottom. He goes back and retrieves the cup and then drinks the urine.
Oh, man, that man.
Okay. Detective Ron Fithen was the guy who said that. He's with the Columbus Police Department. Detective Ron Fithen, after being interviewed for the story, said, you know, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. That's what I'd do. That's what I'd say, Detective Henry. And then he drank the urine. Okay, well, that's it for me, guys. Well, where are you going? I resign. I resign my job as a police officer. I don't know what else I'll do. Maybe I'll go into just working as a security guard for Sears. I don't care anymore. And why do we always say a security guard for Sears? Does Sears have security guards? I'll just be a security guard anywhere. Bel Air Security, something. Patton allegedly told police he leaves the stall after the child leaves. Fithen interviewed Patton after he was arrested while leaving a movie theater last weekend. Listening to him describe it is like listening to a crack or cocaine addict. He's addicted to children's urine.
Man, that guy needs to go a nut, Ben.
Well, no kidding. But again, well, yeah, a nut, Ben. Because the guy is like stalking kids in bathrooms. It's just, he told us he's been doing it for 40 years since he was 7!
No.
Yes! Since he was 7. Police said Patton told him it makes him sick, but that it's almost spiritual to him. He allegedly added, I like it because it makes me closer to them. I'm drinking their youth. Oh, this guy's gone, man.
Well, yeah, man. How come you didn't think it was anything less?
Well, I thought, you know, a victimless crime, as they say, and maybe it's like a sexual weird... It's kooky, man. It's way out there. It's sick. You know,
can you call that child molesting a child and everything?
Well, I he doesn't touch the kid at all, and the kid doesn't even know that he's there. But it's just, you know what? I think a guy like that needs to be put away because I'll bet you. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to think that he hasn't molested a kid.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to believe that he hasn't.
Yeah, but didn't arrest him for that.
Well, maybe not. But a cat that's doing that, and that's just funky already, okay? Now I gotta think this dude is just the way he describes it. A New Albany, Ohio father played a role in Patton's arrest. He told someone at a movie theater that Patton was staring at his son in the bathroom. The theater employee then called police. Officials said Patton is a registered sexual predator who was, here we go, convicted of rape 13 years ago.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. Police, so you see, it's like what we were saying the other night on the show, you know, that Peeping Toms, something like 70 to 80% of all Peeping Toms go on to become rapists. So it's a stage of an abnormal personality that eventually goes to the level of criminal. And this guy, who may appear to be just a sort of inoffensive individual, look at that, man. He's already raped a kid. And I'm telling you, it's funky, man. It's way, way funky. Police believe Patton has been collecting and drinking urine in cities around Can you imagine? Police believe Patton has been collecting and drinking urine in cities around Central Ohio, including Hilliard, Westerville, Dublin, Worthington, and Gahanna. Why would we even give the names of the city?
Well, in case somebody's missing some urine.
Oh, I see. So if you were packing some urine and you're missing it? And this isn't the first time he's been caught. A Delaware municipal court found Alan Patton guilty of criminal mischief in February of 2011 for similar acts at a public restroom. Patton was also ordered to pay a $250 fine plus court costs. He must serve 5 years community control and wear an electronic monitoring device. This guy's all jacked up. Although he was found guilty of criminal mischief, Patton was found not guilty on a charge of unlawful collection of a bodily substance, a law his past crimes helped create, which you already pointed out in the story a little bit earlier. Thank you so very, very deeply, ABC News. Wow. Wow.
So you think the guy should go into a nut house, huh?
I think that if the guy... Yeah, yeah. Now that I find out about the guy's whole criminal history, yet I had a stinking hunch, a guy that is this weird... There's got to be some child molestation has passed, and it turned out, yes, there was. So I think you pop a guy like this, you got to get him to some kind of a head shrinker and have this guy some very intensive head shrinking, is what I think.
Well, yeah, does he belong in a nut bin?
I don't know if he belongs in a nut bin. Do you mean like a psychiatric hospital?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if it's an outpatient thing, but right away you got to remand the guy to some psychiatric thing because it's, first of all, man, it's injurious. You heard the guy say he gets sick. So what's that about? Okay. And remember that one guy I was telling you guys about?
Oh, man, that Hamilton Fish guy? That was the sickest thing I ever heard.
No, man, the guy with the pins?
The guy with the pins, the knitting needles, yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right. Tell me that guy wasn't nuts. This guy, Hamilton Fish, not Hamilton, excuse me, Albert Fish. Hamilton Fish was a relative of his. Hamilton Fish was a member of the U.S. Congress. But Albert Fish, as probably a lot of people know, because the story has been repeated, the man's case came into prominence about 20 years ago when a book was written about him called Deranged. And Albert Fish murdered many children in New York City on Staten Island. He was active as a murderer, as a child killer, in the late teens, early 20s, mid-20s of the 20th century. He had been arrested for burglary. He'd been arrested for a lot of weird crimes before that. But kids went missing. One of them, the child of a police officer, which obviously is naturally going to get a lot of attention. And they began, hunting up this kid. Another little girl by the name of Bud. I forget her first name. This child went missing. And they finally found this guy, Albert Fish, who had killed this little girl, Bud, and had killed the boy. And it turns out the guy is not only a sadistic murderer and a psychopath, because he taunted this little girl's mother with letters. Just a sick bastard. He was a cannibal.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah. And
you kidding?
Why would I kid about that, man? I mean, I'm in the middle of telling the story, you know?
All right.
So he cannibalized these kids. And so anyway, when they finally arrested him, New York City police finally arrested him, and he had sent a letter to the mother of this little girl, the Bud girl, she was a 12-year-old, that said something, it was very, very sadistic and taunting and horrible, the detail that he went into. Nonetheless, he gets arrested by the New York City police, and they come to find out that this guy was some kind of a masochist, sadomasochist. He would take pins and knitting needles, and I don't know how else to describe it, just stick them into his body, you know?
Yeah, you said they had like an x-ray?
Oh, yeah, the x-ray. They got an x-ray of this guy's pelvic area, and there's just needles, man. He's a very, very jacked up guy. He also enjoyed beating himself with a ping pong paddle that had nails in it.
Get out of here, man.
He did, man.
They didn't have ping pong then.
They didn't have ping pong back in the 20s?
Yeah.
Well, it was a paddle with nails. They said it was a ping pong paddle. I don't know. What do you mean they didn't have ping pong back then?
Well, when did they invent ping pong?
I don't know. I'll bet you it's in the 19th century, though. So anyway, make a long story short on this guy. They put him in the electric chair. They just said, you know, you're goodbye, adios, you're a ghost. And they did. They cooked him real good. They might have even forgotten to put water in the sponge, for all I know.
That would have been radical, man.
But anyway, yeah, so the Albert Fish. So the weird ass is out there. Now, how we got onto that topic while I'm talking about a guy that likes to drink urine is anybody's guess. But I'm saying it starts out small and then it gets weird. So much of this behavior, and I don't mean it in every act, but if it's clearly an aberrant act, who's he hurting by drinking urine? Well, you know something, it's screwy, it's irrational, and the whole way he's talking about these kids, this cat needs to be locked up, man. I'm sorry. In 2009, Patton was convicted of attempting to collect urine from toilets at a Dublin business. This is in Ohio. The case frustrated authorities as Patton could only be convicted of criminal mischief and sentenced up to 60 days in jail. So then they finally passed these laws saying you may not collect urine and sell it without a license. No, I'm kidding. You can't do it. It's sick, it's twisted, it's weird. All right, Florida woman Dahlia DiPolito uses reality TV defense in a murder-for-hire trial. Wait till you hear this story. We're going to give it to you when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As this lady is on trial for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill her husband, and she's using the defense of, it was a scripted ploy for a reality TV show. Kind of like when you say, okay, if they find out, if they hear the tape, we were rehearsing a play. Yeah. Yeah. All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Coming back in a moment.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
A few more minutes here on the Phil Hendry Show, and don't forget, after the show, check our website for the show log. Brutal, brutal, brutal show tonight. But a Florida woman on trial for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill her husband is using an unusual defense. It was a scripted ploy to snag a reality TV show. Yes, sure. But Dahlia DiPolito says it's true. She's 30. She's facing charges of solicitation to commit first-degree murder. In 2009... she allegedly hired an undercover police officer posing as a hitman to kill her husband, Mike DiPolito. In opening statements on Tuesday, Dahlia DiPolito's defense claimed that the hiring of a hitman to kill her husband was a big hoax, just a big misunderstanding, and that Dahlia DiPolito's husband, Mike, was in on the scheme. The defense argues the couple was committing the hoax to get a reality show. The plot for the contract killing of Mike DiPolito was never real, said Michael Salnick. One little problem, Mike DiPolito denies that. He took the stand and testified that he was absolutely shocked to discover that 6 months into his marriage, his wife was plotting to have him killed. In 2009, detectives set up an undercover sting operation, which included telling Dahlia DiPolito that her husband had been killed. All of the sting was caught on camera by the crew of the reality show Cops. Video showed Dahlia DiPolito crying when she learned her husband had been murdered and asking to see him. Surveillance video caught her planning the murder. I just need to make sure everything is going to be taken care of, she told the police officer, who was posing as a hitman.
This is really complicated. I don't understand it.
What's not to understand?
Yeah, but what's the part about how he didn't know and she said he did know?
No. You guys don't understand. She was found to have been plotting the murder of her husband. The police caught her on tape. She said, no, I wasn't plotting the murder of my husband. It was a scenario for a reality TV show.
Oh, and they're like talking how they were going to do it?
Yeah. And so she even said her husband knew about it. But her husband took the stand and said, bull crap, I did not know about it. I don't know what you're talking about. You lying whore.
He called her that?
I don't know, Robert, but anyway, the defense argues it was Mike DiPolito, a convicted felon on probation, who orchestrated the entire thing. That's what the defense is saying. Defense attorneys argued Mike DiPolito was a fan of shows like The Jersey Shore and Cheaters, which led him to plan a fake murder for hire so he and his wife could get their own reality show. Yeah, easy come, easy go there, Mike. It was a stunt that Michael DiPolito, whether he'll admit it or not, hoped to capture the attention of someone in reality TV, said Solnick. Michael DiPolito's hoax to achieve fame and fortune was a bad prank. Dahlia DiPolito expected her husband to tell investigators it was a hoax after she was arrested. While the defense might argue that her husband craved the attention of a reality show, Dahlia DiPolito was the one with the reality TV experience. As a teenager, she appeared on the hit episode of The Jamie Kennedy Experiment that included a fake hitman. In the prosecution's opening statement, Dahlia DiPolito was portrayed as a cold-blooded killer. Probably turned that way by Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Being on a show like that will make it be a killer.
Yeah.
In any event, in the prosecution's opening statement, she was portrayed as a cold-blooded killer. He asks her, "Are you sure you want to kill him?" As if she had ice running through her veins, she says, "There's no changing. I'm determined already," according to attorney Elizabeth Parker. This is the prosecuting attorney. ABC analyst Dan Abrams said that for the defense of reality TV to work, Dahlia DiPolito will have to take the stand. "You always say to jurors, you cannot hold it against the defendant if she doesn't testify. I think in this particular case that if she doesn't testify, the jurors will hold it against her because it's so dependent on what she was, on what was happening in her mind throughout this, that I think to believe the defense without her testimony is tough." So she's got to get on the stand. She's got to talk about this because this is some screwball thing here, man.
You believe it? I mean, what about the guy?
I don't know, man. You know?
Yeah, because his husband's a criminal too, and maybe he wants her to go to jail.
Well, see, that's the angle. You know, that's another thing to think about. Maybe this guy is, maybe she got caught. Maybe this guy, you know, he's a con, and he's been inside, and maybe he wanted to get rid of her. I don't know, man. I mean, does she have money? Why did he want to get rid of her? Because he obviously, if that's what you guys are saying is true, and it's possible, then he planned it with her, and she thought that everything was good, and then he turned around and testified against her. So he had something in mind. Divorce her? Well, that's easy enough. Get some of her money? I don't know. How do you get money? What good does it do you, though, man, to have your wife thrown in prison? You can divorce her ass, you know?
Maybe he's afraid to, because he's afraid she's going to stalk him.
Oh, I don't know, man. So the more I think about it, the more I think it sounds kind of goofy. Anyway, Abrams said that Dahlia DiPolito's defense team will have to overcome some overwhelming evidence, including text messages sent to a boyfriend. Aha!
A boyfriend?
Yep. Text messages sent to a boyfriend and preparations made during the plot, including removing jewelry from her home. "I've seen a lot of wild and crazy defenses in my days, and this is certainly one of the wildest and one of the craziest," said Abrams, who said he was only kidding. He's been in television most of the time as an intern for Larry King. Okay.
It sounds like a fire.
It's a forest fire raging out of control. So how about that? All right. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll come back kick ass, you know. That's what we got to do. That's what we do, man. Just get in and kick ass all over again, baby. Figure out what was right, what was wrong, what was good, what was bad, what was in between, and make sure you make all the adjustments. And we will be back again tomorrow night, of course, 10 to 1 on the West Coast, 1 to 4 on the East Coast. Our web address is philhenryshow.com. If you can't listen to the show on radio, you can always catch us at our website with our Phil TV and HD webcast. We also have the podcast the next day. We have our Classic Phil podcast. We have the largest archive anywhere in the planet, or on the planet, or in the planet, in the interior of the planet, the largest archive of a radio show. You betcha. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And one more thing, our shop. Go to the shop and pick up the brand new Phil Henry Show t-shirt. It's a beautiful royal blue with our three-color logo on the backside. Our show was technically directed by John Ilk and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft, and, of course, our executive producer is Jason Rance. PhilHenryShow.com. We'll see you guys tonight.
Phil Henry.